grab your parents' money and head over to the Scholastic Book Fair. Unless you don't have any money, then you can stay in the classroom and really cry, and it's really, really sad. Hello! And welcome to Pop and Circumstance, the podcast where we talk about pop culture things.
Woo! Yeah, boy.
I'm Eva.
I'm Emily.
And we have...
John!
So unenthusiastically today.
I'm excited for this episode.
I am as well.
This episode, we're kind of jumping into a little time booth here. We're going to talk about teen novels, teen books that we enjoyed and maybe we didn't enjoy and just all that good stuff. But before we get into it, we're gonna do Emily's Pop Culture Corner. Emily.
Hello, everybody. We're going to talk a little bit political things as well. I'm just going to throw the politics right into it. Oh my God, I don't think that man's worthy of a name, so I never remember his name.
Chauvin?
Police officer, yeah.
Yes. He was guilty, as he should be.
Good.
For all three crimes. So, bitch better rot in jail.
I don't think he's going to get a very big sentence.
No, he could face up to 75 years.
Oh.
Because he is guilty.
Yeah.
What fuck Ted Cruz though, because he was like, oh, because Biden had spoke while the jurors were like talking about the results,
mm-hmm.
or like, you know, coming up with a conclusion, verdict, sorry. But Biden had made his like announcement like while they were discussing,
mm-hmm.
they were sequestered during this time, I mind you, so they couldn't hear what Biden was saying.
Yeah,
but he was just like, you know, I hope they come to the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, it's a clear answer.
Mm-hmm.
To everybody, to every human being who has seen what had happened.
Like everyone there, physically, who were there.
Well, even if you watched the video, you knew he was guilty. There was no and ifs or buts about it. Mm-hmm. You don't put your, like, to get graphic a little bit here, you don't put your knee on somebody for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And say that you're not guilty. It reminds me of that true crime episode that you listened to mm-hmm. about the army guy who choked a girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To asphyxiate somebody in that manner.
That's a long ass time.
It's not like shooting somebody. It is not like
where it's like
slitting
instant,
somebody's throat or anything like that. Where mm-hmm. it's a little bit more. Your
like in the moment, like in the passion, the heat of passion.
You can argue that.
Yeah,
I'm not saying anything,
mm-hmm.
but like in that you could have stopped at any moment because of how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm like, listen here, bitch.
Yeah.
But then Ted Cruz was like, this deems a mistrial because Biden spoke during this time. But. Even if, like, they tried to, like, say that, he spoke while they were sequestered.
Yeah,
which
the
means
jury
that, like,
did not have any...
They have no outside, like...
They were literally quarantined.
Yeah.
With, exactly.
So, like,
so they can't
shut
even...
up. Shut up. That's why...
Fuck him, though.
Fuck Ted Cruz. But, great job.
Yeah.
But literally the same day that happened, someone else...
Was
a 16-year-old mm-hmm. girl... was shot and killed
mm-hmm.
by police. People are justifying it by saying she had a knife and she was going to hurt somebody. You still don't.
Literally,
you don't have to shoot.
You don't have to murder somebody to arrest them.
Yep.
Like there have been shooters who have been caught without killing them.
I know. There literally are. Like, everybody's in love with serial killers. They had all gotten, like, arrested. Most of them, if not all, like, were arrested without being killed.
Yeah.
And they killed people. They murdered a whole bunch of people, and they mm-hmm. weren't. And I'm just like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah,
you telling me you couldn't not do that? You have other tactics. That's also why I'm like, we're getting on a different discussion, but I'm like, get rid of the guns and just give them tasers if you really have to use something to stop somebody. I was like, here you go.
That goes into a whole other political topic of like gun control, which is we're not that podcast.
We can do it one day, but today's not the day. Today's not the day for that discussion.
No.
But we wanted to bring it up because it's very important.
Yes, it is.
We're both, like, all three of us.
Yeah.
Everybody affiliated with this podcast are very big believers in the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm. And how do I explain this? Like, regulating, like, redoing the, what's the word?
Defund the police.
Defunding the police and, like, just making it different, like, completely put it on its head.
No, we have to fix the system.
Have it be social workers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not saying, like, oh, if you are being robbed, who are you going to call? Or, like, okay, then you'll call, like, there could be,
you have to reallocate the money so that it's specific people are going to specific stuff. Colorado has done that, and I think they're doing really well right now.
Yeah, I think somewhere in, like, Virginia or something like that. Some East Coast little state has also done this, but it can be done. Yep. It's been done in multiple countries and a few states where you put your money not in weapons, but in, you know, more training, more education for your officers. You know, if you're going to have officers, and then give them, make them more prepared to de-escalate certain situations, and also with people who are not in their right mind, i.e. people with mental illnesses, you know, and all that other kinds of stuff, so that they don't think that they have to kill people.
I'm also like, you have to go through so much more work to be like an EMT. Obviously, like, you're saving lives, like, that's their whole job, obviously, but I'm just like...
And you deal with a lot of people that are
you deal with so many different type of people, who can severely harm you, but your job is to
protect them.
And save them, which is
technically what a police officer should do. Just
protect and serve, but fuck you, I guess. But anywho, we're getting on a different thing. Sorry, I just had to say that piece. Couple of other stuff in the news. So, How I Met Your Mother. Oh. Feelings on that show.
I mean, the few episodes I've seen, some parts are funny, but, like, I wouldn't say I, like, loved it. I was just like, oh, it's a show. It's not horrible.
I enjoyed the show when it aired I was younger. Did not care for the last season.
No one
like
did.
Most people. John, same feelings?
Yeah, I think basically after, like, season 4, season 5.
Yeah.
That's when it dipped in quality. And then the last season was just, like, not good.
But the only reason why I bring it up is because they're going to make the sequel with Hilary Duff. They wanted to originally make the sequel.
I don't think it's necessarily a sequel.
They call it a sequel.
Oh, they call it a sequel?
They call it a sequel.
Is it like...
My understanding was that it was going to be like a reboot. Like, it was just going to be... but with a female lead.
A sequel?
Is it, like, about...
It's How I Met Your Father.
Because I don't think it relates to
anything. Dang it. Why wouldn't Hilary Duff be a lesbian? It's still How I Met... Boo.
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 Listen. Give the lesbians what they want.
Yeah, so they're going to, I guess, a sequel-ish of the show. Okay. Quote-unquote, it's going on Hulu, and then, like, she's a producer on the show, and everything. The people from This Is Us and Love, Victor are also attached to, like, produce the show.
Wait, so are the original creators not involved?
I think they are, but it's not... I think they are, but these guys are producing it.
Hmm. Okay, that's a good backup, because This Is Us is a good show, and Love, Victor is also a good show. Victoria really liked it. Anything else? Are you reading?
I was reading, sir.
Oh, okay.
So it says, per the reports or whatever, it's unclear at this time how or if the new show will tie into the original.
Yeah. So that's why they're keeping, like, the word sequel in it, not saying reboot, because they don't know.
Or, like, okay. Or you can say spinoff.
Yeah.
That's
somewhat attached, I guess. Okay, other things, actors Benicio del Toro, Zoe Saldana, they debunk of COVID-19 vaccine misconceptions among Latinos, because that's, I think there's a big fear, as well with the African-American community. There's a big, like,
little hesitation.
Hesitation, and with the vaccine of getting it, because you're just like, fuck.
That's a whole other podcast, because there's a lot of trauma when it comes to people of color in the medical field, because a lot of people of color have been abused
and experimented on
in the medical field. Yeah. So that's why a lot of
they're like, no, I don't trust you.
Exactly, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But so that's really good that they're just being like, no, okay, this isn't one of those weird.
It's like, look, a lot of white people have gotten it too. It's okay. I promise, it's fine. This one was kind of interesting to hear about. Elizabeth Olsen, she had once considered dropping her last name. She didn't want to be associated with her sisters in the sense, not like not to be associated with her sisters.
Like to, like, be estranged from them.
Yeah, it wasn't nepotism.
I see.
So that, like, because she wanted to work on Wall Street originally. She was like, oh, I want to be a Wall Street person. But she didn't want, like, her name to be attached to it so they wouldn't take her seriously if she did work on Wall Street. Be like, you're an Olsen. Sort of thing. Which I'm like, fuck you. Like, if that's what she wanted to do, that's just rude.
Interesting.
Yeah. Michael Keaton is set to return as Batman for the new Flash movie because they're doing Flashpoint. And if you know, like, he breaks shit. He breaks their universe, and that's how, like, other people can show up.
Okay.
So that's exciting. Another person with, like, nepotism. I don't know why, like, this was a trend recently. Kate Winslet's daughter is also an actress. Yeah. And she was, like, her daughter slipped under the radar. Nobody realized it was her kid because she has her dad's last name. Uh-huh. And they don't necessarily look super similar. She looks a little bit more like her dad. Mm-hmm. So she was like, no, they didn't realize that that's my kid. And she's low-key grateful because of that. Cause she's like, you know, because you have that fear where they're like, oh, they're not. You're going to feel like they're only getting the job because of you and not because of who they're good. Mm-hmm. Which I'm just like, you know what?
Good for them.
Another big story was Sony and Disney came to a deal about something. Mm-hmm. So Sony, you know, has a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. Columbia Pictures is their, like, brand of film. Mm-hmm. They are, after the year 2022, will put their movies on Disney Plus, but only for the U.S. Okay. If you're outside the U.S., it won't be on Disney Plus. They'll probably be on other streaming services, but they're putting their movies on there.
Okay.
And then people are like, oh my god, look at us getting all their Spider-Man movies. Well, they really only care about, like, Tom Holland because they were upset. They're like, why is Venom going on there? And I was like, because they own it and they're putting all of their movies on there. They're putting anything that's family oriented on there.
Yeah.
So I was like, bitch, fuck off. That's the whole point. They're just trying to get money. It was a deal. And I'm also like, Disney, you have the money to make this deal right now? No tea, no shade, but you got the money to do that.
Do whatever they want.
Yeah. So that was the big thing that dropped today, that they did that.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see Sony film on Disney Plus in 2022. Cool. At the end of 2022, because it's going on Netflix first.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll move over to Disney.
Gotcha.
Which I'm like, you know what? I think it's literally the streaming wars will continue until people start buying out other, not buying the company, but, like, giving them enough money to be like, you're only going to be on my stuff.
Mm. If the studio
hasn't made their own streaming service, because, like, Universal's never going to give them stuff because they have their own. Mm-hmm. And same with, like, Paramount or who else has one? I feel like another person has one. It's just them, right? Just those three and Disney and then Netflix and Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
Streaming's just going to become cable with extra steps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. That's going to be just as
expensive. There's going to be bundles soon where it's going to be like, oh, pay X amount for all the services.
That's what Apple TV is essentially. Because, like, you can, like, because, like, every time, like, Apple TV, when you use it, is like, oh, you're using the streaming service too? Can we, like, connect with it so that, like, it's also on your Apple TV so you don't have to go on to the actual app? You can just do it on your Apple TV. And I'm what? That's fucking weird. Huh. But I'm just like, how do you... I don't understand the concept.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's gonna... History repeats itself. So yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Here we are.
Anything else?
No,
that's pretty much it. That's it. Alrighty, so let me open my list of things. So, as I said at the top of the episode, this episode is about teen novels and teen literature.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. The majority of our episode is going to revolve around the NPR list.
Yeah.
It says 100 best ever teen novels. It doesn't really have an author to it. It's just NPR kind of collecting the top 100 teen novels that they think. Oh, it was a summer poll, essentially, is what they did. And it was 75,220 people voted in this thing. And so that's how they determined this. So
we do want to, because like we took a peek at the list and everything beforehand, obviously. Because when we talked about teen movies, we kind of separated things that were like genre specific.
Mm-hmm.
With teen novels, I feel like it's really hard to separate when you do genre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because like that's just a really big part of it. Because in books, you can delve so much more deeper into like what makes it a teen thing.
Yeah, you can combine genres in a novel.
They do it so well. While in film, sometimes they go a little bit too specific in the genre. Although I still argue with Hunger Games being on it.
Yeah,
but it is true. It is a teen. It's a YA book. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing wrong with YA books. I still read them.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I think they're very enjoyable.
And then we'll also go into like, because The Hunger Games was made for young adults.
Yeah.
And so when we go through this list, we're not going to go through all 100 of them. I'm just going to go through the top 10 and also the kind of just call out various ones that I think are important either to me or to the collective teen. Mm-hmm. And also this was made in 2012. And so after we're done with this, I'm going to kind of point out different books that have come up since 2012, because that was a while ago.
For sure.
Almost 10 years.
Disgusting.
Oh my god. Anyway. Wait,
she didn't have to bring that.
Anywho. Let's get into it. So I'm going to go from 10 to 1.
Okay.
And so, because we already read the list, all three of us, but I want the audience to kind of guess as we're going along here. So number 10, it said The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak.
I did not read The Book Thief.
Me too. I only watched the movie.
I've only seen the movie.
Yeah.
And the movie is heartbreaking. It is a wonderful piece of film.
Yeah.
Wonderful piece of film. I'm sure I can only imagine how good the book is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, this is a general question. What is up with the very big Holocaust?
Oh, yeah.
Like, genre
of teen books, yeah.
Yeah, because it's that. Boy in Striped Pajamas, mm-hmm. Milkweed, right? Is that what it's called? It starts something milk.
Milkweed? Is that? I mean, milkweed is a plant.
No, but I think that's the book about. It's like, it's related in that.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of Holocaust books.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this is very specific experience that I had in the sixth grade. I don't know why our school did this, but like we had a portion of the semester that was focused on the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. I remember that too.
We spent the whole semester, actually, like the whole semester on the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to, and every single like class was dedicated in some manner, reflected back to the Holocaust. So it was like in reading like English, mm-hmm. you read a book, history,
mm-hmm.
obviously learned about it, mm-hmm. and like everything, like all went back, and I was just like, Jesus, I understand because we need to learn because it is history, but I was like, you dedicate that much of,
yeah. of
your time to this, I was just like, shit.
And yeah,
reading The Boy in the Striped Pajamas as a sixth grader in class as I sobbed my eyes out, fuck, traumatic.
But, and also I just love about The Book Thief, I love how you don't really, like throughout the book and the movie, you're trying to figure out who this omnipotent voice, this author is, and the narrator is. And then at the end, you kind of piece it all together. When I found out, I'm not going to spoil it, but when I found out who the narrator was, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so genius. It's so good. I love it.
It was so good.
Number 9. I loved this book, actually. I don't know if I'd still like it if I read it as an adult, but Looking for Alaska by John Green.
I got very upset. Very physically upset with after.
Yeah.
After started, because the book is split with before and after.
Mm-hmm. Of this specific event that happens.
And then the moment you're reading the book, everything's calm, cool, and collected. Yeah. And then you flip a page and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I was like, sir?
Yeah.
Sir, I do... What?
Oh, sorry. No, thank you.
Oh, I was like, I do think, like, of the John Green books I have read, I do like Looking for Alaska Lost. I think the relationships are so great. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They don't sound like teenagers who are full of themselves, mm-hmm. because that was a low-key problem I had with, like,
just John Green and how he, yeah.
But, like, that's a big problem I have with Hazel Grace, which is the...
Oh, The Fault in Our Stars.
There we go.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I read that book. Literally, that book was... When I bought that book, it was on the new releases. Because mm-hmm. it just came out. Mm-hmm. And I only picked up the book because the girl's name was Hazel. And my cousin's name is Hazel. And I said, oh, I'll read this book not knowing what the fuck it was going to do to me. And then, you know... But I think Looking for Alaska is, like, it's a pretty, like, mm-hmm. of the teen books, of that, like, type of teen book, I think it's a good one.
And I also think around that time, John Green was very authentic in his way of how he writes characters and relationships. And I think because that book was so successful, I think he found a formula mm-hmm. that worked for a while, and then now people are kind of tired of it. I haven't heard from him in a long time. I see his brother sometimes, Hank.
Yeah, Hank's all over TikTok.
Yeah, but I haven't seen John in a long time.
John's now on TikTok.
Is he John really?
John has started to TikTok now.
I heard but I have noticed a lot of people, because there's a lot of criticisms of John Green where he's like, he really perpetuates the manic pixie dream girl. You could argue Alaska is kind of like this, but I feel like she's more of just like this really tortured...
I think she is. She is the manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
She is. 100%.
Yeah.
But not...
Not in a fantastical way. Like, in a... I don't know. Like,
you know how, like, in New Girl, they always, like... The characters are always flipped on their head, sort of. Like, how Zooey Deschanel has always played the manic pixie dream mm-hmm. girl. And then they, like, distorted it a little bit so that she wasn't... She still kind of had the same traits as a manic pixie dream girl, but they didn't make it problematic. Mm-hmm. Like, she... had a personality.
Yeah.
More things. Same with when Megan Fox was on the show and she played Reagan. Same thing. She had the traits of being what she has always played in her life, and then they added more because there's more to a person.
Yeah.
I think Alaska is the model of a manic pixie dream girl, mm-hmm. but still has a little bit more mm-hmm. fleshed out.
Yeah. And he doesn't really know how to write girls mm-hmm. when it's a male protagonist looking at a woman, but he's way better at portraying girls when the girl is a protagonist.
Yeah.
And I think that's just because he's treating them like actual people. I heard that his latest book, Turtles All the Way Down, was really good. But I guess, trigger warning to anybody who has severe mental illnesses, apparently that book is kind of triggering to, I don't know, manic episodes or something like that. That a lot of people were just like, oh, this got real deep. Not in a traumatic, like, violent way, but like in a dealing with mental illness sort of way.
What were you going to say before I interrupted you?
Oh, you were saying that one book, the Looking for Alaska or whatever. Yeah. I never read it, but when you were saying that, it had that, like, what the fuck moment. Like, it reminds me of when I don't know if it's necessarily a teen book, but I had to read it in high school, so what? We'll say it counts. But Farewell to Arms by Ernest Hemingway. Yeah, yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah. But, like, because I had to read that in high school. I think everyone had to read at least one Ernest Hemingway. But in high school. Mm-hmm. But it's a guy, he's like a army medic during World War I.
Ernest Hemingway loves his army shit.
Yeah. He falls in love with a girl. I haven't
read a single one of his books.
I've read his short stories, but I haven't read like a book.
His books are good, but some of them can get dark. But but he falls in love with a nurse while he's in Italy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, it's good, like, they fall in love and shit, but then, like, the ending, like, takes a turn, and you're like, what the fuck? If you've seen Silver Linings Playbook, there's a scene in it when he's...
And he throws the book?
That's the book he throws. He's like, what the fuck? And he just throws it out the window.
And you know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number...
Eight.
Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. I don't think Fahrenheit 451 is his best book, but I do like Ray Bradbury as an author.
I also think, like, obviously, like, it's the concept of the book, yeah, which is what a lot of people, like, they remember that concept of the whole.
I don't think I'd ever read any of his books.
You don't, but do you know what Fahrenheit 451 is about?
Is it about, like, censorship or something?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Yeah, it's And I heard the TV...
They had to burn all the books.
Was it a movie or a TV show with...
Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan.
I don't know.
I think it might have been a movie.
Like, yeah. HBO.
But I heard it was really boring.
I will be honest. I've done the play.
Yeah.
It is a little slow.
Yeah. Fahrenheit, I feel like...
Because it is slow. Because it is about, like... It's about a man's journey about, like, you know, finding books and shit like that. Like, there's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, it's not, like, a...
Exciting, fast-paced. Yeah. Yeah, it's just about a guy who burns books and then realizes that you shouldn't burn books. Yeah. Because books,
like,
are cool.
There is, like, there is a little bit of mystery into it and stuff like that. But, like, that's, you know...
That's the thing. Let's see. The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Did you mention that was originally aimed at children?
The Hobbit was. I don't know if the Lord of the Rings books were.
I don't
know. But The Hobbit was written first.
Yeah,
and that was geared towards kids.
I was like, that was a children's book when it came out.
I see.
And then he wrote The Lord of the Rings afterwards.
Mm. So, I mean, he might have made it. Because he might have been like, oh, this book was made for children. Those kids are now older.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
That could have been what he did.
I mean, that's iconic. No one, Lord of the Rings does not require an introduction or an explanation.
Everybody, no matter what your age.
Like, me, who I don't really care for the series, like, I know of it and I know a good chunk of the references.
And the story.
And the story.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't gotten around to reading the books, but the movies are...
Chef's kiss.
Let's see. Next is Catcher in the Rye by J.D.
Catcher in the Rye.
Yep, my bad. Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Stallinger. I have never read this book.
Salinger.
Yeah. Sure. Again, I never read the book. I never had to. I don't even know what it's about.
Yeah, you read it, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought you did.
Wow, we're probably like some of the very few millennials who've never read this book.
I don't want to get the urge to kill John Lennon. So
is this the book?
I'm pretty sure. I'm 90% sure that the guy that killed John Lennon was inspired by Catcher in the Rye. Some reason
the plot thickens
because I think Catcher in the Rye, the main character is supposed to be like really edgy or something.
Yeah, so young Holden Caulfield's disillusionment with the adult world and its phoniness will only rise in popularity and controversy since it is the favorite book target of censors who often cite profanity and sexual references in their effort to ban this book. That's the description they use with the book, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, and also it's so crazy. On the topic of like censorship, children's books are the most censored books like of all time. Because earlier on when we were talking about how like teen books, there's no way to define them by genre because there's so much in them. Like that's how you can really reach a kid or a teen with very serious topics because these teens and kids go through that. And then a book is just so easy for them to like ease that discussion.
Oh yeah. Like I read the book. something baby ducks. It's like something drugs and baby ducks.
Oh.
And it was wild, but I read it at a formidable age, like middle school, high school. I read a book named called Twitch.
Mm. I feel like I've heard of that one.
That one introduced me, which like I think it's really great to read books about different types of people. It introduced me about the concept of Tourette's, what it's like to live with Tourette's, and like because the guy like was tormented his whole life because he was this way, and I was just like, you know what? great. It was like a runaway book. And I was like, oh, I want to run away from this life too. I relate to you, sir. It was great. I loved it. Next book.
And then the next is The Hobbit.
Yes.
I mean,
technically a children's book. Technically. Like an actual children's book. But
iconic.
I'm pretty sure that with... So C.S. Lewis, the guy that wrote mm-hmm. The Chronicles of Narnia, and J.R.R. Tolkien, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they were friends. And I think they had some challenge. They're like, oh, who can write the better like fantasy book for kids? C.S. Lewis wrote Chronicles of Narnia, and then J.R.R. Tolkien wrote The Hobbit.
Question, though, because C.S. Lewis. Yeah, thank you. He obviously, it's an allegory for God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Hobbit is not, right? Or is it? Did I miss
that? I mean, I haven't read it, but I'm pretty sure, like, Lord of the Rings obviously has a little bit, like, it's not as bashing you over the head as Chronicles of Narnia does, but
oh shit,
I'm pretty sure to a certain extent it is.
I mean, I remember one time I went to a teen, like a youth group sort of thing in like church, mm-hmm. and they were doing like a whole thing about Star Wars and how
Star Wars is
you know, so
oh yeah, it's 100%. You can use any religion to kind of use Star Wars.
Yeah, that's why Star Wars is so popular. Okay, next is The Fault in Our Stars by John Green.
Again. It's also this poll was made in 2012
too,
when that book was at its peak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, John Green was at his height.
Yeah,
everybody was obsessed with him. Mm-hmm. I asked my friend to prom using the okay.
Oh,
and I wrote prom ? And he cried.
Oh my gosh,
because he's a gay man. This book, and he was just like, ah, yes, of course. It's a book.
It's good. He's a good writer. Hank Green is a good writer.
I think he's a great teen writer. Like, I will not give him a... Not Hank. John. He's a great teen writer. There's nothing...
I'm sure Hank is a good writer, too.
Probably.
Number 3, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. Iconic. Classic. I love that movie.
I never watched the movie, but I have read the book.
I think the movie is really good. The book I also liked. I just like the feel of it. Again, another one of those iconic books that are constantly censored because people don't want kids reading the N-word.
Look, it's in there. It's in there because of like the context of the book.
And also just like the content of the trial mm-hmm. is very adult. And,
oh yeah, 100%.
And but it's in the eyes of a child. Mm-hmm. So so teens is like the perfect way to just kind of, well, you're mature enough to approach this crime.
Yep.
But you have the innocence of this child.
I think that book.
I don't know if we talked about this before, but the sequel to Kill a Mockingbird, I don't know if they're still printing it, but there's like a whole drama around it because there's a sequel, quote unquote, out that's supposed to take place after To Kill a Mockingbird when Scout is an adult.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Harper Lee never wanted that to come out because it was the it was like her original idea for To Kill a Mockingbird. And a lot of people really didn't like it because A, it went against Harper Lee's wishes.
Yeah.
And she's no longer with us.
Wait, she died already?
Yeah.
Wow.
And B, it totally like you can go back and forth on this, but it totally ruins the character of Atticus, the dad, and kind of Scout. It just kind of reverses everything that you went through in the first book. So that's why a lot of people hate it. Because they're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Number 2, Harry Potter series by J.K. Rowling. Oh, wait.
No, 2
is... Nope, sorry. Number 2 is Hunger Games. I skipped.
Well, she let you know what number 1 was.
I mean, okay, number 2 is The Hunger Games. I mean, it's iconic.
Yep.
And
Susan Collins, she's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't knock that from that woman. If you read Gregor the Overlander series of hers as well, I read those in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. She's a fantastic writer. God, those fucking books.
They're so
good. We devoured those books. My in eighth grade, I think. I don't remember what age I was or like what grade I was in, but I think it was eighth grade because my teacher was like, oh, I'm going to show you this book. Yeah. And we were like, okay. He was like, I'm going to read you the first couple chapters. And he read us the chapters and I was like, oh, bitch, I want to read the book. And he goes, it's currently like no one can get it in the library because everybody's reading this damn book. Yeah. But if you want to read it, like, I'll loan you the book.
Yeah, so, and then what's cool about Suzanne Collins is that she doesn't treat her... She specifically writes all this stuff for young people.
Yep.
And she doesn't treat them like idiots.
Oh, no.
She's like, I'm going to make a book critiquing just...
The government.
Government and how media distorts, like, politics. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of us are now, like, 100% snowflake liberals. The way we are. Because we read books like this where she was just, like, in critiquing, like, the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And now how it portrays or tries to age up all these children when they're literally children.
Dude, she put so many adult concepts in her books because she talks about PTSD. She talks about it in so many different characters. She talks about so many different things in the third book. The third book, first of all. Oh,
so good.
God. But Finnick O'Dare, to this day, is still one of my favorite characters ever written. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's wonderful. Sam Claflin did a fantastic job playing him. The only disservice that has ever been done in those movies was they didn't give him the full attention when he does his speech when he's trying to
distract
the Capitol, because that speech is
heartbreaking.
Is oh my god when I read it in the books, because it's he was sold, because he won it at a young age.
Yeah.
And they sold him as a prostitute because he was so good looking.
Yeah, and it's not like, really a sex worker because he didn't really have the agency of a sex worker. He was sex trafficked, essentially.
Yeah, as a child. And then and it's just oh god. And I just reading that, and then Katniss's realization in the books of like, you are not just a pretty face. You have never been just a pretty face. You have gone through so much shit. And I'm just like, yes.
And then also Katniss as a character, the way she and her relationship with these two boys in her life, and I love how Suzanne Collins makes it, like, obviously the Capitol is trying to force romance on these three, but Katniss herself, I believe, is asexual.
Yeah.
Probably aromantic, just ace.
Yeah.
And the way she approached how the relationship between her and PETA is beyond romantic love. It's so mature. It's so mature. And
how they were, like, fully together because of, like, what they had gone through. And she was like, I think you're the only person who will understand and accept me for what we've
gone through,
for what we've experienced. In the same way, and you can see it in the same way that, like, Finnick and Annie were together because they both experienced something so traumatic. And she wasn't doing it in the sense of, like, you need to be with somebody who also has experienced your trauma. She wasn't doing it, like, in a codependency sort of way. Because that's why I think it's, like, phenomenal. Because she never did it, like, a...
None of these relationships were super toxic in a way where, like, she was romanticizing it.
Yeah, she was just like, no, it's just because, like, they understand one another. They get it. They get it in a way that other people won't.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, bitch.
So good. My dad also, I remember when it was around the time, like, the last movie came up. My dad was trying to, like, speed read all of these books before the last movie came out. Because he saw the movie first and he was like, wait a second. And so my dad was, like, reading these books on his bus ride because he does one of those, like, park and ride things. Like, to and from work.
Yeah.
So
my, like, teacher who I read, like, To Kill a Mockingbird with, like, in ninth grade, she made it part of their curriculum to read all of The Hunger Games. They had to read it.
I love that.
She made it part of, she was like, no, this book is so important. Like, this series is so important that you have to read these books. And I was like, yes, bitch. Yes. But I was already out of her class at that point because it was, like, in 10th grade when the last book came out.
I think that's a really good idea of, like, teachers taking a bunch of modern, really important books. I think, I mean, obviously it's really important to read, like, I don't know.
Yeah, you need to read the classics. There's nothing wrong with reading the classics.
Like, To Kill a Mockingbird or whatever. But I think it is also super important to incorporate really important modern books today, like The Hate U Give.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or The Hunger Games, like stuff like that. And I think that's so important.
Oh, God. I think in any... Sometimes I'm like, man, would I be a teacher? Because I'd make those kids read some, like, weird shit. The comic book, like a really great comic book, too, you can make them, make them.
My whole class would be a book club.
Yeah, and just be like, here. Well, because, like, in that class, I'm going to give her a shout out because I think she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Miss DeLuca. Mm-hmm. Miss DeLuca. Queen. My Jewish queen. She also had us do book reports. Mm. She encouraged you to do them. It wasn't like... You had to do one a month, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like, you didn't have to read like something super, super difficult, but mm-hmm. you had to read something. And then you would give her a little book report after. You didn't have to do it in front of the class, but you would have to do it in front of her and be like, this is what I read. This mm-hmm. is what I like understood from the book.
Okay.
And like, one, she gets to find about more books because like sometimes, you know, they're busy too. They're adults and they're grading stuff and they have their own curriculum to do. Mm-hmm. But then that way they get sparked with other books and they're like, oh, I didn't know that shit was around.
That's cool.
There's a book on this list that's like further down, Unwind. Have you read that book? Mm-mm. Fucking wild. Because your parents can get rid of you. That was the whole concept of that book. At that, the age of 16, if your parents are like, I don't really want you anymore. It's basically...
Like, that's legal?
Yeah, it's legal. They send you away so that they...
Oh.
They...
Oh, wait, know? I thought you were talking about in, like, real life, like, here.
No, in the book.
I was like, you can just give away your child at 16?
No, it's not give away.
Oh, like, that's...
It sends them to die.
Oh, that's so crazy.
It's basically aborting your child at the age of 16.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because they are not what you want them to be.
That's crazy.
It's just a late-term abortion.
Yeah, it's late-term abortion. And it's fucking wild. And I was like, oh my God.
That's crazy.
There's so many books on this list, too, further down that I think are really great. But, like, obviously, like, you know.
Yeah, we'll get to it. And then number one, Harry Potter. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Again, fuck J.K. Rowling as a person, but.
She did make a
good book.
Fuck that bitch.
I don't know, fuck her. Anyways, so yeah, let's go through just kind of little honorable mentions.
The Outsiders.
The Outsiders.
Hold on, let me tell you who wrote the book. S.E. Hinton. Mm-hmm. If you've never read the book, please read the book. It's a really short book. It's a really thin book. It's probably like not even 140 pages. It's probably less than that. Mm-hmm. It is so good. So good. It's about a group of boys. Mm-hmm. They're greasers. It's that time period mm-hmm. about greasers. And I forgot what the non-greasers are called.
They're called the non-greasers.
They're called something else. They're like the...
Soapies.
The soap.
You literally said that and I was like, that's not like, it. That it? Can't be it. The socks. That's what they're called.
Oh, I was so close.
That's why I was like, when you said the soapies, I was like, wait a damn second.
I'm just trying to think of what's the opposite of grease.
And then, you know, it's so good. Pony Boy Curtis, great. There's just great interaction in that. I think it's a wonderful teen book. I think everybody should read it.
On this list, they also had Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
That's also one of those, you know, in the same category of, like, The Hunger Games, where
it's... A group of boys.
A group of children, yeah. Like, but, and a lot of
they're
people,
all boys, right?
Though? Yeah, they're all boys. Because yeah. They're all in, on, like, a boarding school or something. But a lot of people misconstrued that book to be about, like, just boys or just feral. I guess it kind of bolstered the stereotype that boys will be boys and boys will just always be like that. But the author is like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's a book about class. And it's about these rich, privileged boys who, because they were grown up in privilege, they think they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So, and that reminds me of Lolita, which some people would argue Lolita. Would be a...
Sorry, every time.
Some people would argue would be a teen book. Again, that's a whole podcast. Everyone, I highly suggest everybody go listen to the Lolita podcast. It's so important and I'm learning so much from it. This woman essentially kind of talks about the cultural impact of the Lolita book and how it is interpreted. Essentially, she's saying, like, a lot of people are like thinking that it's like a romance between a child and a man.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are like, oh, like this, gross. That's essentially what a lot of people think the book is about. But she's here, that whole podcast, she's here to say, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Dolores, who is the girl, is a girl who is abused by this creep.
Yeah.
And she's abused, and it's really, it's a book about tragedy, essentially. It's not a romance. And so it's, that's one of those like weird things where it's just like, these books are one thing, and then a lot of people construe the other. I got them on a tangent, but yeah. Let's see. On that note of like very serious topics in kids' books, I have a few, I listed a few of them. The House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros. A lot of people in, I remember having to read that in my Spanish classes.
Yeah.
It's just essentially just like a coming of age, very, very, very short book about growing up Latina in America.
Yeah.
And like the cultural, like, war in yourself of what it takes to be a woman, and also just to be an American girl, woman, and Hispanic woman, being true to your culture, but also growing up. It's pretty cool.
Isn't there, like, the, even though it's not about the American experience, it's the, is it called Esmeralda Falling or something like
that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's about the Spanish Inquisition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's when I found out there was a Spanish Inquisition, and I said, whoa.
No one expects a Spanish Inquisition.
And I said, excuse me. Okay, but yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. Speak by Laurie Halse. Mm-hmm. Laurie Halse Anderson. That one needs a big, big old fat trigger warning on that one, because it is about this girl who is assaulted at a party, and she calls the police on the party, and people are really upset at her for doing that, because they obviously don't know what happened. And so because everyone's just like so upset that she called, that she ruined a party, she's like, I will never speak again then. And she doesn't. And so it's that whole thing about just her finding her voice. It's a really difficult book to watch. And it's based on the author's like actual experience.
Yeah. It's do you remember the book? I think,
is it The Bell Jar?
No, So Be It.
I think I've heard of that one, yeah.
I think that one's one where, like, the girl doesn't talk. Is it the girl doesn't talk? What? Somebody doesn't talk. Because of, like, a trauma. Mm-hmm. A lot of like, Dr. Schultz's book has a lot of
fun. Yeah. Go Ask Alice by Anonymous. That one has to do with a lot of drug use, like, teen drug use. And also, it's like, it was essentially, allegedly, I don't know if this is fact or fiction, it was written by an actual like teenager.
Yeah.
That's like, and about her experiences with drugs. That one also reminded me of Crank.
Yep.
By Ellen Hopkins. I read Crank and it was so, I hate poetry. I would be the first one to say I fucking hate poetry. But when I read that book, I was like, oh my gosh, this is stressful.
Yeah.
But really good. And also Crank is based on, as Go Ask Alice is based on like her own stuff, Crank is based off of the author's daughter.
Yeah.
Who's going through a lot of shit. It's crazy. It's crazy.
There's two. Yeah. So it's kind of a funny story. I cannot remember the author's name at the top of my head. They're on the list of the NPR. Man, I'm so sorry. Because the book is an autobiography. It's about his experience when he was a teen, and like his experience in a hospital when he thought he was like, I'm going to.
It's by Ned Vicini.
Ned Vicini. Mm-hmm. Oh God, that book is so good. I loved that book.
Mm.
That book, Perks of Being a Wallflower, is another one.
Oh yeah,
they're both. Some people don't like them, but I'm just like, look, they're very true to some people's experiences. You can't disregard it just because it was an experience you had, sort of thing. And Perks is brutal. When you, like, when I read the book, because I read the book before the movie came out, I was numb towards the end of the book. Because, like, there's just so much.
Yeah.
So much happens. And then, like, when Charlie, like, gets numb, I got numb.
Yeah.
Because it was just too much. Too much. I missed when he discusses,
like, the aunt, what happened to
him. I missed that. I missed that completely. Like, that did not register. Mm-hmm. So when I saw the movie and then I saw it, I said, wait, what?
Yeah.
And my friends were like, that wasn't... And I was like, no, it wasn't. They're like, yeah, it wasn't. I was like, I... Like... Just pushed it back. Like, it didn't happen.
In a way, like, that's really good writing.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the thought process of...
And I was just like, God, like, to write like that, I'm just like, God, that's just genius that you can...
You can do that.
That you can do that, where you completely... It happens, mm-hmm. but, like, you, just like the character, pushed it back where you... Mm-hmm. But, like, no, it didn't happen.
Mm.
No.
That's so good. Oh.
And I was just like, oh, God, phenomenal.
Let's see. Now we're going to go into more fun stuff. I remember a lot of people were reading. These were also, it was like a freeform show. The Immortal Instruments.
Yes, The Immortal Instruments, which is fan fiction.
Is it really?
Yes.
Of what?
Which one is it? Harry Potter, I believe.
Is it? That's crazy.
It's a Draco.
No.
I think it's a Draco Hermione fan fiction.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. But I've also
I'm like
heard...
99% sure I'm correct.
Yeah.
If the I'm immortal... wrong, somebody fight me.
The Immortal Instruments and The Infernal Devices by Cassandra Clare, because they're both connected in the same universe.
Yeah.
A lot of people also... I never read the books, but a lot of people... One of the criticisms was that it was like a self-insert
mm-hmm.
thing. Because I also... I lied. I read like the first couple chapters and I remembered like kind of freaking out because in the Immortal Instruments at the beginning... Someone was reading Naruto in the book, and I was like, they just called out Naruto? Can they do that?
Can you do that?
But that's one of your, like, supernatural romance things. I remember the show was really popular because they also had, I think his name was, like, Harry Shum Jr.? Is that his name? From Glee.
What? Schuster?
No, Harry, the Asian guy.
Oh, yeah, Harry. Yes.
Yeah, he played, I forgot his name, the character's name, but he was gay and everyone was like, oh my gosh, he's so hot. And also, he's gay.
Yeah, so it is. Is it true that The Immortal Instruments started off as a Harry Potter fan fiction?
Oh my God.
It is.
Crazy.
Anything could be a book if you make it fan fiction first.
I guess so. The Fallen series. I read the first two books of the Fallen series. It's by Lauren Kate. I hated it. The first book I really liked it because it was like...
Hold on.
Oh, wait.
I do want to bring this up first because I've heard about this.
Okay.
Not to bring any money to the woman who made The Immortal Instruments. A lot of her stuff is plagiarism.
Is it really?
Yeah, because her stuff had gotten taken down from like the fan fiction sites and stuff is because she used a lot of plagiarism.
From who? From just like other people?
I think it's other writers. And
oh,
then,
that's crazy.
Because I think she has another, besides the other one, she had, like, tried to make another series, and, like, people were like, bitch, you're just stealing other people's ideas. Because I do remember, I do get sometimes book talk on my TikTok, mm-hmm. so, like, they do talk about
God,
stuff.
I love book drama. Like, yeah. Oh, in the book world, oh, that's tasty. Mm-hmm. So good.
I was like, if I remember correctly, this bitch, not a good bitch.
Okay, so back to the Fallen series. I hated it. This was around the time where I was really... So it was like coming off after the Twilight, you know.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was doing all the supernatural teen romance shit.
Yeah.
I'll get to this because I was obsessed with Hush Hush by Becca Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
I'll get to her. Don't worry. I will never forget her. So I was coming off of that high.
Yeah.
And the Fallen series was like, had to do with like fallen angels and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. Like, I love the aesthetic of Catholicism. just, you know, the romance of it. And it's essentially about this. And it's also so goth and so hashtag edgy.
Yeah.
And so it's about this girl who goes to a boarding school of sorts because she accidentally burnt down a building of sorts and endangered somebody.
Okay.
And then there's this brooding hot guy who wears all black who... It's like Twilight where it's like... we're together, but no, we can't be together because I'm dangerous. And like all this other kinds of stuff. And then you find out that he is a fallen angel who is cursed to find her in every lifetime. So she keeps being reincarnated over the years. And he, no matter what he does to get away from her, he always comes back to her and falls in love with her again, and she always falls in love with him. And
Rippies.
And every time they have their first kiss, she bursts into flames and dies. And so that's like the tension. They're like, no, we can't. And I was all about that shit. But then in this book, I don't care about spoilers, to be honest, but in this book, she lives and does not burst into flames. And so the rest of the books are kind of like the, what does that mean? And like, and then essentially it's just a war between like angels and demons. And I hated it because these two were the most obnoxious, edgy teen lords. Ugh. Like, oh god, I hate, it's the most heterosexual, like, oh my gosh, like, so, oh, it was worse than Bella and Edward. And that's like a really codependent shit show, but this was like 10 times worse. It was just gross. I hated it. It was so I stopped reading it.
Yeah,
I guess I'll go into Hush Hush. I was obsessed, and again, another one of those fallen angel things. Honestly, I don't remember what it was about. I loved it.
I know brother loved it because he gave me the book.
Yeah. My sister loved it too, and she hates reading.
Yeah.
It's not good. I'll probably read it as an adult eventually, just to, you know, see what my adult brain
thinks about it.
But I've seen a lot of reviews, and people are like, oh, this book sucks. It's not good. Patch is a piece of shit. Also, the main girl is also a piece of shit. Everyone's a piece of shit. And also, the writing's probably not that great either. But I was obsessed. It was really good. The guy's name is Patch. Who names a guy Patch? It's so fucking stupid.
You didn't read them because we had talked about this before, but I read them because, you know, I had to be different.
I'm not like other
girls. Everybody was reading Twilight, and I wanted to read a different vampire book. So I read the one that came out first. I read the one that came out in the 90s. So I read The Vampire Diaries.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are actually really good. I'm gonna say it right now. That shit was dark. So in the book, so like the first thing that happens is like they go to the school. Like the vampires go to the school, and there's a fucking like they like it's like a Halloween party or whatever.
Was it a murder?
They like massacre people. Oh. Like it's like a bloody bloodbath. Oh. And I remember it being like distinctly very gory in the book, and I was like,
like, hello?
This is a deep book. I was like, oh my god.
Oh my god.
It was like they did not shy away from shit, which is probably why the CW took it and made it into a show and was like,
yeah,
let's make this into a show. Because I was just like, bruh.
Yeah.
Fuck. It was insane, but I loved it. I lived for that shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, yes.
Yeah, there's also,
They still had the, but they kept it with vampires. They didn't have the werewolves.
Oh,
I see. They had werewolves, but it wasn't
a big thing.
It wasn't the love.
Oh, I see.
Issue. She wasn't in love with the werewolf. It was brothers. It was.
They're both brothers?
Yeah, because it's Stefan and Damon Salvatore. They're brothers.
Oh. The fan fiction?
Yeah, they're brothers who are both in love with the same girl because she looks like their.
If you say their mom.
No, not their mom, but the girl that they used to be in love with, Catherine.
Why did they fall in love with the same girl?
Because Catherine, who looks exactly like her when they were older, but like back in their original time.
Oh, okay.
Looks exactly like her. And they're like, bitch,
that's
the woman. That's the woman for me.
Crazy.
Like Damon, no, Stefan sees her first, and then Damon shows up because he's the bad guy. And then he's just like, oh. That's a piece of ass I want.
I haven't watched it. I know I had a friend who was obsessed with it,
yeah.
But I didn't really know what it was about. I just thought it was like a Twilight-esque thing. Yeah. But the way you're describing it, I was like, that's saucy.
No, dude, that's why people loved the show, essentially, because it's very, like, scandalous.
Yeah.
But I was like, if you think that was scandalous, bitch, read the fucking book. That shit was scandalous. And I read that in middle school. Oh, my
God. And I was like, the shit we read in middle school, we can have a whole other episode about fan fiction altogether.
Oh, my God. The fan fiction. The band fan fiction. Those are real people. Yeah, those are real people.
Oh, my God. So there's also the Vampire Academy.
Oh, yes.
Series by Rachel Mead. I never read those, but I remember a lot of people loved them.
There was another vampire one.
The House of Night series by PC Cast and Kristen Cast. That one is a mother-daughter duo. I remember my friends reading that in middle school, and they were so obsessed with it, and they were also scandalized because they're like, there's like sex in here. But I was like, and then when I found out that like it's a mother-daughter duo, I was like, ew, why is a mom and daughter writing like sexy?
They have to be adult, obviously.
I know, yeah, but I don't want to. I don't even like watching movies with sex scenes with my parents in the room. I'm just like, ugh.
They have a comfortable loving relationship, I guess.
Sure. I guess so. Fine.
But they're still one of those parents who are like, I want you to do this.
Want some snacks? A condom? Yeah. Let me know.
Rather you do it in the house than go somewhere else. Sort of situation.
Let's see. I read...
There's a lot of murder mysteries, too.
Oh, yeah.
For children. Okay. I can't think of any in my head, but I was like, there's a lot. Not children, teens.
I mean, Nancy Drew was a thing.
Yeah. I read a lot. I read a lot of them, and I can't remember
any of them. Let's see. I read the first book of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Yes.
I liked it, but then I found I found the graphic novels, and I really love the graphic novels, just only because I love the art style and the illustrator. Uh-huh. I think her name is Cassandra. Ah, shoot. It's like Cassandra Dean or something like that. Yeah. A great artist. But looking back on it with an adult look, I hate all the characters. None of them are. And I feel like the main character falls into that trope of this basic self-insert white boy who has no motivation to really be the hero, but he's the hero because everyone says he is. Mm-hmm. And he's just... And he has no, like, connection to whatever. And so he's like, I guess I'll just be the hero. And then, like, the girl falls in love with him for no reason. It's very Ready Player One-ish. I hate it. I was like, fuck you, stupid skinny white boy.
Fuck you.
Let's see. Oh, do you remember? So when I say this, you're not going to know what this is, I don't think. Confessions of Georgia Nicholson series by Louise Renison.
Nope.
A.K.A. Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yes. Oh my God, we didn't talk about that movie.
I know. We completely missed that out. And I was like, excuse me, Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Is so good.
That movie made me in love with it.
My sister read Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging because she loved the movie.
Yeah.
But that book series is very similar to The Princess Diaries, where there's like a whole, it's more, I guess, more scandalous in the books.
Okay.
Especially the Princess Diaries books. They're so... And also I heard that
they make fun of the movies in the books. I've heard.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
So it's fun in the later ones. But I heard that Mia in the books is like so unlikable and just so annoying in like a teenager, as opposed to the lovely Anne Hathaway, who's like so quirky and cute and beautiful and like, how can you not? So that's one critique I heard, that just people just didn't like the books just because it's not exciting. Yeah. Or like, they're annoying, essentially. The Uglies series. I remembered a lot of people read that. It's one of those dystopian books along with Divergent and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, The Maze Runner. Maze Runner is also another one of those books where like, the main guy is so bland and so boring. I don't give two shits about that protagonist.
But Dylan O'Brien is adorable.
Oh, yeah. I love that actor. Yeah. But, like, his character, no motivation, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Right. Any other ones you want to not you want to call out from that list or no?
No, not that.
No? Okay. I'm just going to kind of mention some books between then and now. I know this one's going to be a Netflix show. It actually looks really, really good. Shadow and Bone. It's a fantasy novel. I don't really know what it's about. I know a lot of people really, really like it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Netflix show. It looks so good. It almost... I was obsessed with pirates when I was in elementary school. Like, I had a whole pirate encyclopedia. I used to know everything about pirates. Mm-hmm. And so now I have like weird fun facts in my head. But this one has like a mixture of pirate feel mixed with like magic and all the other kind of stuff. And also it's like super diverse. I think the main character is played by an Asian woman. I think. Shadow and Bone takes every sexiest cliche in the books and throws them all out. Oh, sexist, excuse me. I was like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. And it proves on the books. That's a lot of what people are saying about the show.
Also, the show's already out.
Wait, let me go back. I don't know yet. It doesn't say. Anyways, people will find out.
Yeah.
let's see. I already talked about the absolutely true story of a... What's it called? The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
Yeah.
I already talked about that one. It is important, but also the author is not someone we want to support. The Children of Blood and Bone. That one was really, like, the way I see this fantasy series is, like, a catalyst in fantasy books in the teen world, because this was one of the very first like super big fantasy series that starred people of color, specifically Black people in strong lead roles in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
And you don't see that a lot. And so now you see a lot of that trending, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
A Wrinkle in Time, kind of mentioned.
That's old,
it.
Though.
Yeah, I know, but I just, yeah. Something we forgot to mention. Midnight Sun. I really want to get Life and Death, which is the quote-unquote gender bent.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, that's not really the term we should use. It's more like cis bent.
Yeah.
Thing where Bella is now Beau, who is a boy, and Edward is now Edith, who is a girl. Pretty much everyone is gender swapped except for Charlie and Bella's mom.
Yeah.
For reasons. So if anyone wants to know what that's about, go watch Strange Eons' YouTube video. She explains the whole thing. It sounds like so stupid, so fun. Have you guys ever read Hatchet? It's an old one, but...
I was like, I knew about it.
It's like 1990s or 19-something. Percy Jackson? I don't know why they didn't put Percy Jackson on that list.
Because those people suck. obviously, they don't like fun. Any of the Percy Jackson books, even his continuation, like Rick.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say his last name?
Riordan.
One of you. Like the other books, and then his collaboration with other authors to make like different cultures versions of those. God, yes.
He's doing the Lord's work. To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, iconic. 50 Reasons Why. That's all of the ones that popped up on Google originally.
Yeah. If we're missing any, just let us know.
Yeah, if we're missing any, please let us know. I think...
It's been a little bit since I've read any, like, newish books.
Yeah. Lately, I've been only reading, like, adult novels.
I've regressed to old YA books. The only, like, new book that I read was Songbirds and something, the Susan Collins book.
Oh, yeah, about Snow. President Snow as a youth. I like to, again, when I look for new books, I try to go for people who are not white, male, cis male, straight. I try to go for people of color. And if I can get a person of color who is either female and gender nonconforming and queer, that's like
the golden
you know, book. But the number one places I go to look for new book recommendations is Refinery29, I think.
Yeah.
They have a lot of good book recommendations. Also NPR, and they update their list a lot. And also BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed is so good because they're just like, are you looking for lesbian books? And I was like, you know, I was actually looking for a lesbian book. And they do. Yeah. And they tell me a lot of, and also a lot of new books that are coming out.
If you're a booktuber or a book talk person, or if you just want to get into that, honestly, just try if you're a TikTok person, like any of the stuff. Like if you see anything, I know this is not like the best way to do it, but like Harry Potter, if you like, when they're specifically talking about the book, it'll open you into the community and then you can find more stuff that way. Then you can like see more discussions about other books, about good books. A lot of people will discuss it, follow people who talk about it. YouTube, there are great YouTubes that are specific to books. Always try to find people who are of color, I think, because then they're going to be like very honest about the stuff. About their critique.
One of my favorite booktubers, her name is is with Cindy.
Yeah.
It used to be Read with Cindy, and then now she just does a bunch of different stuff. And she is an Asian, I think she recently came out as queer.
Yeah.
She was originally straight, but then she was like, wait a second. I like her stuff. Sometimes Casey Alonso, like her earlier stuff was very booktube-ish. I like her. She's Canadian.
My loving friend, she's one of my best friends. Her name is Sophia. She has a book YouTube. It's called Fantasy Book Addict. She is a wonderful human being. She's also African-American. She also has a book club on Twitter with a couple of other lovely females.
Oh, there's also another, if you guys are into, because we didn't really talk about like manga and stuff, just specifically because if you watch anime, there's a manga that goes with it most of the time. But if you're into like, you know, just manga talk, this lady, her name is Mama Loves Manga. She is a Black woman, and she just talks about whatever the heck she wants to talk about. Sometimes she also does like really like etchy hentai, and that's always fun.
The book club I was trying to tell y'all is book_chaos on Twitter. And they have it's a monthly book club, and they discuss different things, and they go live and such. It's very cute. They're all wonderful people. So give them a follow if you want to read more books or anything, or have more recommendations.
Yeah.
If we forgot anything, just let us know on our social media.
Yes. You can find me at Bevamar on Instagram and Eva_Bevamar on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at The Emily Garon. Our collective Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok is Pop and Stance. And if you're a Facebook person, it's Pop and Circumstance. And if you liked this episode, please give us a review on Apple Podcast. We kept on forgetting to do that.
Yeah, please.
John, do you have anything to plug?
Any friends you want to promote?
You can follow Christian, @RJCXD.
Hell yeah.
On YouTube.
Stay safe.
As always, stay safe.
Wear a mask still.
Get vaccinated if you can.
And be good to yourself.
Yeah.
Bye.